They're trying to tell us something. They have figured out the formula for chaos.
When the clock strikes 8:30, babe, time to head for Chris's house.
Hey!
Will the song make it to the next round?
Bono.
Pot of Thunder. Let's pot tonight. Come on, baby, let's pot tonight.
Night.
Yes, indeed.
Look Ooh. At that.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Blue Microphones. They look great. They sound even better. And you know who I am. Pull out the big guns for
that's
that one, huh?
That's a keeper.
That was your three regular co-hosts, most regular co-hosts.
Wow. So who's playing? Chris is playing regular guitar there.
Oh no, Chris is doing. It's like the vocal? Gang vocal.
Gang
at
vocals.
The end.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. It's the two Chris's and myself.
That's incredible.
On vocal duty.
And is that you on the guitar?
Yeah.
Doing all the music? Sounding great.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to have to change my ringtone finally.
That's the high watermark of guitar tone right there.
It is. And that's the high watermark of Andy intro sound clips.
I think
so. It just keeps getting better somehow every week.
Yeah.
I thought you would have run out of steam.
Well, yeah. You're our friend Chris. The two Chris J's doing vocals in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Our mother and Mr. Jericho.
That's awesome. That will be my new ringtone. Finally replacing the sports machine theme, which is jarring every time I hear it.
This will
one will reach out and grab you too.
Yeah, yeah. And I we'll get into that later. I could talk about that forever. But you know who's over there? Look at him. He's got his. His rock and roll Chupaga. He's going to get it on. Yeah, he's got his cape. Look at him go. He's ready. Yes. Yes, indeed. Here he comes.
Old boy dancing his way across the podcast studio.
Throw a nickel in there.
Nick Pollock has joined the program. Look at that guy. He dances. He does it all. He's got costumes. Give him a tip.
Ugh.
Hook him up. Look at that.
You don't need a penny just to hang around.
Hmm. Well, what's that from, Nick?
But if you've got a nickel, won't you lay your money down?
There it is. All right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining
us. Lovely afternoon.
I don't even know what episode it is or what day this comes out, but here we are.
A little slap happy.
Yeah, a little bit, but welcome to the program. And immediately...
We need someone to keep us... Keep us on the straight and narrow.
Keep us grounded. To Nick's left, the man who can do it. You want him. We got him.
I can have it every day, yeah, yeah. I can have it. Get out of my way, yeah.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast medium. That is Chris L. We are Pot of Thunder. Ooh, we've got a good show for you today.
This is our Memorial Day episode.
Oh my.
So here in America, people hopefully will have the day off and can listen to this at their leisure.
Is it Memorial? Oh my gosh, it is Memorial Day. How about that?
Andy's back in his rhythm.
Woo!
His podcast rhythm.
I'm back. I just needed 1 week to get my bearings again. Here we go.
He's back on the rhythm method.
What exactly?
Yeah, we hinted at talking about that before. What rhythm are they talking about? Are they talking about the rhythm of, it has to be the menstrual cycle, right? I mean,
I think so.
I think
so it's either Rhythm of the Night by El DeBarge, or it's I'm not familiar with the quote unquote rhythm method, but I do know of another type of thing like that, and it is around. Yeah,
does it have a name?
It's like natural contraception, right?
Yeah, the Creighton model is the one that I had learned years ago.
Okay,
and it's basically monitoring fertile periods and non-fertile periods.
Because I was going to, you know, naturally you think like certain rhythms that you engage in with your hip thrusts can alter the likelihood of impregnated woman or not. And it's like, that doesn't seem right.
That doesn't make any sense, no. Isn't that like, wasn't there a thing years ago where they'd say right after the act had concluded that if you went into a certain position, like put your, you know, laid on your back and put your feet up or something, you'd be more likely to have a certain gender.
That's just absolute horse
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, it is. But
you hear people say stuff like that all the time, and you wonder what cruel person was spreading this information to gullible people who didn't have the education at the time to try these things.
Yeah, it seems very new agey, kind
it's
of
just complete garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then but people latch onto it. It's like any other conspiracy theory or whacked out opinion on something. Somehow it gets traction. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just stupid. Lay on your stomach and put your feet up.
Well, and I have to give Andy credit for the. I don't know if he's debuted it or he's talked about it on the show. It is Memorial Day. It's a patriotic sort of holiday.
Uh-huh.
Andy kept saying if he makes a solo album in the future, what it's going to be called. And it's the absolute greatest name ever. Nobody's ever thought of a better name for an act.
The band, the title of the group was Yankee Doodle Andy and the Rhythm Method.
Imagine calling your backing band the Rhythm Method.
I'm sure someone has.
No, they haven't.
I hope not, but...
And if they did, it doesn't count.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get it from anyone.
Absolutely
it just popped
brilliant.
Into my head as being...
Brilliant.
Yeah, maybe
imagine
one day...
Imagine that.
I'm going to have to recruit the Rhythm Method.
How many levels higher would you be just coming right out of the gate in a live show and introducing your band as the Rhythm Method?
It's all downhill from there. I mean, you're starting off for...
You can only lose it.
Yeah.
But you've gained so much just with that name.
Yeah. People are buying t-shirts before the first note.
That's true.
They're like, who's playing?
Yeah. I hope I like them. I don't know.
I hope I like them.
I've taken.
I bought all this stuff. I better like them. Yeah,
I bought the you know the baseball bat and the little wooden baseball bat that came with it.
All the collectibles. The pennant.
Well, I hate to tell you this; it might burst your bubble a little bit, but the Rhythm Method is used as the title of Neil Peart's drum solo on the Show of Hands live album.
Mm.
Not that you can't commandeer it for the name of your band, but.
Well, my band will be hornier than anything Rush ever did.
I would hope so.
So I'll take it back.
It's hard to be less. There's some horniness on the first album, but after that, it's all over.
Yeah.
Like, was it I Want Some Love? That's about as horny.
Need Some Love.
Need Some Love. That's about as horny as it
is. In the Mood is another good one. Somewhat horny.
Okay.
Which, by the way, my September pick has been wafting through my brain in recent days. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for you guys to hear that. I'm convinced that there's no way either of you you've heard of the artist, absolutely.
But
no way
song.
You've ever heard the song before.
I listened to mine earlier today, well, at least the front runner September pick. And our artist we all have heard of, probably varying degrees of familiarity with the material, but...
Cool.
A name that we all know.
Did I hear it in your car? Is this a spoiler?
No, this is not a spoiler. Okay. I know I have it on shuffle in the car. So.
Okay. Well, Nick, I need a treat. What do you got for me? Is there anything here today?
Leftovers.
Ah.
Who wants to eat
leftovers?
Who wants to eat baked treats with me?
Leftovers.
Hell no.
That's going to be funny for weeks.
Rated every week now.
Yep. It's not going to go away.
No. It shouldn't.
So we got more barbecued lemonade here.
Orange lemonade, yes.
Orange, I'm sorry,
had,
yeah.
Had the grill, the oranges, and the lemons.
Very good.
Did you use large oranges in there,
they were
perhaps?
They're pretty big. They were something called Cara Cara, something from Aldi.
So that sounds exotic.
The color is on the inside is almost like a grapefruit color.
Hmm.
The Peanut Delight moniker equivalent for oranges, Cara Cara.
All right.
Apparently, the name for their prune selection is Kaka Kaka. So, you're keeping with the theme.
That's good. All right. So, here we are. Another week, Memorial Day.
It's so over stupid. Already.
And we've got, if we're following our pattern, if we're following our rhythm method,
yeah.
Our internal rhythm method,
there we have it.
It's Chris's turn to pick from the listener submission
Maybe
list.
Maybe if I get down on the floor and hold my feet up at a certain angle, I'll get a good song.
Yeah, well.
She's actually doing it. That's what people would say, probably. She really did it.
She really
laid
did
on her
it.
Stomach and put her legs up. Oh, my God. Are you serious? Ugh. Ridiculous. Ridiculous stuff.
Yeah,
morons.
If you do it in the butt, it's more likely to be a boy. Trust me. That's what people would say.
A butt face. Another butt face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's Chris's choice to pick from the listener submission list or go off-road, off-script if he chooses to.
My goodness.
It's his show. He can do whatever the hell he wants, and it is Memorial Day, so I don't know. If he has something planned, or if he wants to see what.
Well, I'm going to go to the list first, but yes, I'm going to operate under. We do three pulls. Mm-hmm. If I don't like anything, I do have one in the hopper.
Okay,
so that's how I'm operating.
Fair. Okay. Well, without any further ado, I'm going to need Nick to go ahead and pull the lever.
Chupaga, don't fail us now.
Chupaga gave us number 111.
111.
Yep, which I just sent over to Chris's phone. Nick, you might have to be the Pope stuff guy because we've all got jobs here right now.
What? I thought I could just kind of hang out.
Yeah, we all have work to do. Chris is debating what's in his
111.
Phone.
I like it, but it's not really the right mood, so I'm just going to straight up bushwhick it.
Straight up, huh?
Yeah.
Would
straight
you say
up, no BS?
Yeah, would you say straight up, no bullshit?
Straight up, no bullshit.
Sorry.
Straight up, no bullshit. Move along to the next
trick. We don't want it! We don't want it! Okay. Yeah,
and to reiterate, I like the song and the band, but it's just not the right mood, I don't think.
Hmm. Not much happened in the year 111.
No?
Very little.
Bummer. Well, good news is we got another chance at it.
Yeah, that's true. Nick, give it another pull. Okay, number 590. This one's going to take me a second. It's kind of long. I have to type this to Chris. I don't know what...
I mean, I could come over
well,
there
no,
if
it's
you
okay.
need me to.
It's okay.
I'd rather not, but...
It's almost there to you. It's coming. It's in your inbox. Again, number 590 there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good God.
I know the band, obviously, but I don't know the song.
I have something here just in case.
Well, yeah, you could fall back on that. Yeah, I'm going to say Bushwick this one, too.
Bushwick.
It's intriguing.
Yeah.
And if it came up again, I might be inclined to pick it, but not today.
Not today's mood. Okay.
Move along to the I mean, it could be. I've never heard it.
Yeah.
The band is dicey for me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I get that. Okay.
Do you got something from year 111?
I have something from 590.
590. Okay. Keep it in the hole.
All right. One more pull?
Nick. Yeah.
Going back to number 65. What the hell?
65.
Yeah. Hold on. What the hell? Odd combination of words here. Okay. It's in Chris's inbox. He's deciding, thinking it over.
That's a definite Bushwick.
No. Moving on to the next trick.
So that means I'm going to something in the hopper that is going to make somebody in this panel very happy. Let me just gather up the information. Nick, you got you got your thing?
I got something for $5.90.
Hit it!
Abemus Papa.
Time for Pope stuff. Yay, that Pope stuff. Here's some Pope stuff.
What the hell? Yeah. It's been so long since we used it. It's a little glitched up.
Yeah.
What's going on?
February 7th, 590. Mm-hmm. Pope Pelagius II falls victim to the plague that devastated Rome. After an 11-year reign, he is succeeded by Gregory I, becoming the 64th pope.
Hmm.
And the first from a monastic background.
What does that mean?
It's got to do with monasteries, you know, monastic,
yeah,
monasticism.
Okay.
Groups of individuals under an order like that.
Okay.
I guess.
All right.
Yeah. So,
what was the plague? Like, well, doesn't a plague have to be a?
It doesn't specify what the plague was.
Yeah, like a plague could be a variety of
things.
But
it says it devastated Rome.
Hmm.
I'll see if there's any sort of
what do those Romans get into?
I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't really say, and I'd have to do some digging, I suppose.
And this is not
but
the
whatever
show
it
that
was,
does digging.
I'm sure it was unpleasant.
Sorry. Unpleasant plague.
That's one thing you can bet on.
Yeah, no question. Alrighty. Well, Chris, did you have a chance to gather
there,
up all your
almost
information?
Almost there.
Okay. Working on it.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, plague. I would hate for a plague. Oh, my
no
gosh.
No, thanks.
You're devastating. Not a big fan of that idea. I guess we kind of had one, but it wasn't... maybe for some people it was terrible.
Of course it was.
Of course, but I mean... When you think of like those old plagues, you just think
that's like a third of the population is gone all of a sudden.
That's what I mean. It's cleaning house.
All right, I've got what I think is the correct information. The person on the panel who will be very happy with this selection can correct it if it's incorrect. I'm just going with my top search result off the internet.
Okay. Well, let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho for the second time today. My mouse broke.
All right, Harold! This one's called...
Born to Party.
Off of...
Crucial Unit Municipal Waste.
By the band...
Municipal Waste.
Ow!
Wow. How come? Because we talked about it earlier?
We did, and none of the three polls were to my liking. And then Andy said something along the lines of what was said about the Slipknot song we had a few weeks ago. And I quote, this from Andy, possibly the best chorus in the history of metal.
Okay.
So that alone is intriguing enough for me, but... As some of you probably know by now, Andy has had a significant life event, a good one, and so we're needing to work around his schedule a little bit lately. So we recorded two episodes on the same day that coincided with the Dark Lord Day, or as we've rechristened it, the Dork Lard Gay, happening here in the neighborhood. And they're known for having metal bands, and Municipal Waste is on the bill this year. So the day we're recording this, which is a couple weeks previous to the day you're hearing it, unless you're a patron, they are on the bill for this year's Dork Lard Gay, and so we were discussing it amongst ourselves earlier today, and Andy dropped that bomb.
Yeah.
So it's got me intrigued. I want to see if it's up bullshit or
what's the
truth.
The name of the song again?
Born to Party.
Okay.
That sounds like an Andrew W.K. type.
Most likely
offering.
Is. Yeah.
So here's the album that I have. It is from, what is it, like 2007 maybe? I'll have to look. Yep, 2007. It's called The Art of Partying. So maybe they've released this on a couple things, because I think you said something else.
This, according to what I came up with, this was on a split single in 2002.
So, okay, it was probably, maybe it was their first thing. I could see.
It's possible.
Here's part of the reason, I'll reveal more as we go, but I feel as if this is a mission statement for the band and for this genre in general, and that's why I said it's such a great chorus.
I'm intrigued. I know nothing about these guys. Never heard anything.
So here's what I know. They're from Richmond, Virginia. This album is 2007, at least the one I'm going to play it from. The album's called The Art of Partying.
Isn't Guar from around there?
They're from Richmond as well. Yeah so... And so is, what's the other band? With that Randy Blythe guy?
Oh,
Lamb of God.
Lamb of God.
All from Richmond. So there you go. Three big metal acts from
Richmond. Did not know that.
Richmond, yep. I'll just tell you a couple song titles, because that's what intrigued me about this. Let's see. First song is Pre-Game. It's an instrumental.
Okay.
Then it's The Art of Partying, Headbanger, Face Rip. Blah, blah, blah. The Inebriator. Lunch Hall Food Brawl.
I like that.
Beer Pressure. Oh, Sadistic Magician.
That's beer Pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there's some good titles. And then Born to Party is the last song. 15, track 15, Born to Party.
Wow.
And so, what album is this on?
The Art of Partying.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is the only one I've ever listened to. It's one of those weird things where you come across a band, you find one album, you like it, and then you, for whatever reason, don't explore further. That's what this band is to me.
Well, a lot of bands, they just kind of, they really only connect with one album.
That's true.
I'm not talking about necessarily the public in general, but with...
But with a person.
With a person, yeah.
And, you know, I haven't even tried others. I might love their other stuff, or I might not, whatever. But, yeah, it's just one of those things where... You know, you just don't get around to it. There's stuff to do. People are busy, but hey, I like this.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with this Crucial Unit Municipal Waste album, but that's what that was the top search result said that this song is on there.
Okay. Well, we're going to listen to the version I know, which, you know, I didn't even realize these guys were playing down the street from us today as we're recording, and I saw that this morning. That's why I sent that to you guys. I had no idea. But I know I've sent Nick that clip before, that live clip of this song.
Yeah, yeah.
And I explained why I thought it was so great. Chris, did you not watch it, or did you click on it for a second?
I did not watch it.
Okay. All right. Well, do you guys know anything about this band or
nothing?
Like, I know none of the members. I don't know anything about them, so I couldn't tell you any kind of history of the band. But I know, just as far as sonically, I would put it in. You know, it's definitely in the thrash genre. They're still active, obviously. They're playing today, but a band in the 2000s playing maybe a little bit of an updated style of 80s, 90s, I guess. Late 80s, mid 80s.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not like, you know, a growl band or anything like that. You know, it's not one of those metal bands. No Cookie Monster vocals, but also
that will be handled by Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, I'm also playing down the street today. So, all right.
I'm interested in this chorus, which he says arguably the best chorus in the history of metal.
Well, I'm just...
I get a lot of flack for this, I think.
So I don't know...
I can
explain. You said it.
I said it. That's fair.
I don't know anything about this band, but scanning on their Discogs page just... Mm-hmm. Little tiny thumbnail versions of their album covers. It's basically, to me, looks like the Garbage Pail Kids made
a
band.
That's a good call. Yeah. I mean, I know what this one album cover looks like, and it's someone at a keg throwing up, like a drawing, you know, an illustration of someone with puke coming out of their nose at a keg, whatever. So maybe that's what all their stuff looks like. Some kind of gross metal dude thing. What are the other ones like?
It's hard to. So I see the art of partying here, and it looks like there's like people are bleeding. some guys hitting a guy with a stool in the background.
There you go. See, it's perfect.
There's almost like a zombie sort of quality to
it. Show Chris. Let him see what we're talking about.
Okay, let me bring this one up here.
This is the cover of the album that this song is on.
I think so.
Yeah, it's like green, or the guy's got a green shirt on or something. Yeah.
Bar stool about to be laid across someone's back.
Yeah, it looks like the backyard of our off-campus house at college, basically.
The guy with scratches on his back.
And somebody on all fours puking in the grass.
Chris being wheeled in on a gurney after getting hit with a slap shot in the chest. All perfect.
So I'm gonna see if your outrageous statement holds any water.
I have to be careful
now.
What
was the statement again?
What is it? It's in the chat.
Yep.
I just want to make sure I have every word of that to consider.
It's possibly the best chorus in the history of metal.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
So this is what I have to defend today. Okay.
You said it.
That's fine. All right. Well, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Born to Party, track 15 of 15 on The Art of Partying. Guaranteed to be a live staple, even though I've never seen this band. All right, let's get this queued up.
A lot going on here. I enjoyed the natural harmonics, or were those artificial? I think those are artificial harmonics. I always get mixed up between which one is which, but I enjoyed that little thrown in there. Very from the get-go, before it broke into the actual verse, very much I thought this could be like an Iron Maiden song, like an intro, kind of a thing like that.
Yeah, was it like a big rock intro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we got, I don't know what any of the lyrics are. I don't know. Is it something?
Andy, oh, they're good.
Are they good? Okay. Well, something that we need to talk about?
I would say all their lyrics are going to be good.
Because I'm getting a... an effing hostile vibe from the way that the music and lyrics are going during the verse.
Yeah, but I think these guys are just more about partying.
Saying, but the whole musically, the sound of it, the tempo, what's going on, that I'm getting like the verse of that Pantera song.
And you don't typically associate that sort of hedonistic vibe with this style of music, which is kind of strikes me as odd. It's different, you know. But normally they're talking about, you know, high level dark topics like genocide and war and, like Nick said, fighting, violence, that sort of thing. Here we're talking about partying, so it's interesting. I'm getting more of like a Slayer Undisputed Attitude vibe.
Yeah.
Vocals definitely sound like Araya to me. But interesting. What are the lyrics?
Some say we drink too much. They say we're just not cool. Well, I fucking like to party. It's what I was born to do.
I mean, terrible, but that's okay. But
it's
probably supposed to be.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
so.
I don't think they were going for anything more than that, and that's fine.
Again, I don't know anything about these guys other than just hearing this. I've not researched anything about, you know, any interviews or video or text or otherwise, but I kind of get the impression that it's a bit of a, not, I want to say concept album, because that sounds like highfalutin, but like, it's like, oh, let's just do music like this that's just about partying and drinking and whatever, and throwing up.
Album.
Yeah, it's a themed album. Yeah. So that's what I'm getting here. And I believe this would be the mission statement. So,
and it's the last track, right? So it's tying everything together.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, SOD had their had their mission statement song. Or I'm sorry, MOD had their. I forget the name of the song though. The Billy Milano, "I'm a Bold, Courageous Man."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, bands have that where. I mean Nitro. Nitro had their OFR song. It's a mission statement for the band.
There's
nothing wrong with that. It's something that's done.
Yeah. Make yourself a rule book that you stick to, and then that's it.
Yeah.
All right, here, let's keep going. Sing through your last gaze, smoothing your weed, smashing your face. In the end, these parties suck, they're all out of beer. Can't we party down? There's no win here. On to the next one, we'll have a good time. Hanging from Scotty Groove, from Eddie Ted Kahn. I'm working through your last gaze, smoothing your weed. This is...
If you just played this for me, I'd say Andy would like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that this is a style of music Andy's into.
Have we gotten to the chorus yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
Let us know when it's coming. So I mean,
I'm assuming it's going to overwhelm us. And
it is.
And there'll be no doubt. Well,
I want you to stop it before the chorus arrives so we're prepared to soak it in.
I'm going to be holding my Chupaga just in case.
You're going to be swinging it around. You're going to be so moved by it.
What were the lyrics there?
He said, blazing through your last case, smoking your weed, smashing your face. Hey, man, this party sucks. They're all out of beer. How can we party down? There's no weed here. On to the next one. We'll have a good time. I don't know what this means. Hanging with Scotty Roo, committing tank crimes. Whatever that is. I don't know.
Inside Joe.
Probably so. Yeah, so.
That does kind of sound like the college vibe again. Like you would go from keg party to keg party, and if there's no beer left or weed left or women left, you just move along to the next one. You just walk around randomly because they were happening on every block, especially after you moved off campus. And when you were in the dorm, chances are there'd be something going on at some random room in your dorm or one of the nearby dorms. You just go prowling around looking for action.
Yeah. Now, in that sort of environment, because I'm foreign to that, mm-hmm. That sort of college town, living there, anything like that. Is there ever a situation where it's basically like, I don't know these people, so I don't think I should be... Or is it basically understood that if you're having a party, anybody's coming and you might not know anybody who's there?
It's the second one. I mean, you can't if you tried to restrict entry to somebody, you'd be asking for trouble because it's a lot easier and less precarious to let somebody partake in what you're offering versus trying to exclude them, because if they're already intoxicated and they're looking for a good time and you cut them off, you're gonna have a problem. At least that's how it seemed to be off campus when I was in there. If you were having a keg party, you wanted to have the biggest one you could have and bring welcoming all comers.
So
basically,
you understand that it's just one of the disclaimers for before you even decide to throw the party.
It certainly was in our certainly was in our crew, and vice versa. If we were walking down the street and noticed there was a party going on in your house, we wouldn't have even the slightest second thought about walking in there, and we expect to be just immediately partaking in what was going on.
Yeah.
And if anybody gave us any attitude, there was going to be a problem.
It would more be the other way, right? Where like everyone's welcome unless you show up with an attitude, then you have to leave kind of situation, right? Like if you come in and start trouble,
well, sure,
we don't want you, but otherwise
that
everybody's
goes for
welcome.
Anybody.
Yeah.
But it's also like if it's noticeably obviously a big, huge party, then you just expect to blend in and partake in it. It's not like you're just gonna walk up to every house where like five people are up in the porch drinking. That's not what I'm talking about. If you're walking by a house and you see like 200 people in the yard, you're going over there.
Yeah.
And you don't expect to be excluded from that.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're getting close. This is an oddly structured song, so you'll hear what I mean in a second. All right, here we go.
Municipal waste is going to fuck you up. I kind of like it when bands name check themselves.
Yep.
I do admire that, especially with this type of music and this the attitude of this song. So kudos to them for that.
Yep, and the sound of beers being opened.
And cheering.
Yeah.
Dudes cheering. Yeah!
Yep. So, again, the video I sent you was from some, it had to be a European festival where people love this stuff, but it's a pretty good-sized crowd with a lot of crowd interaction singing this part with the band, so.
Okay.
Now, before we get into that, talking about songs.
A lot riding on this,
yeah,
Andy.
I know.
Songs where they're talking about the band.
Yeah.
You know, almost like a rap sort of a thing, you know, you talk about how great,
yeah,
how great you and your crew are.
Yeah, that's true.
Does the eponymous Iron Maiden song count?
I guess.
I think,
yeah,
so, right?
I think so.
Well, were they singing about themselves? I'm not familiar enough with that song where I know the lyrics, but are they singing about
you, right? Like,
they're singing about themselves versus the actual Iron Maiden, what was it, a torture device?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's
an early version of the Throne of Humiliation.
there's a bit of talk of something weird like that, but then ultimately
Iron Maiden's going to
get you. It's that and the Rhythm's going to get you. Those are the two sister songs, really.
If given the option.
Andy's going Gloria Estefan every time.
Yeah.
So this is the big chorus?
This is big chorus.
All right.
This is the very definition of big chorus, okay, if there ever was one.
As you remember, maybe you blocked it out, but Caruso was justifiably destroyed for saying the verses were beautiful in A Liar's Funeral. So there's a lot riding on this, Andy.
Well, then I'll give it one more explanation before we hear it. I feel like this is the way I'm playing it out in my head. If I'm sitting around with my friends and we thought of the band name and we came up with this one line,
mm-hmm,
and the way it's delivered and the presentation in a live setting, you've got a 20-year career based on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all you need. Nick's putting money down. What's that for?
$20 if you edited the chorus of AM radio to start playing right here. It's right there on the table.
Chris would walk out of his own house.
I probably would.
Yeah.
If this is a long setup, this $20 is yours.
That would be pretty good. All right. Here we go.
Is that the song?
That's it.
Wow.
You know, I gotta say that, like, I liked how they name checked themselves in the whole phrase. So turning that into the chorus, I'd be disingenuous to say I didn't like it. I do like that.
Mm-hmm.
Best chorus in the history of metal. Obviously, an outrageous statement, but. Yeah, I'm not going to destroy you like Caruso for what he said about A Liar's Funeral, but I do appreciate a band with that level of confidence where they name-check themselves and announce to the world that they're going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say that I heard in a couple of spots a bit of a possible Pennywise influence.
Hmm, that's interesting.
A little bit.
Okay.
Not lyrically.
Pennywise, they're not thrash, are they?
No, but they when the whoa,
yeah,
like right. that to me was a Pennywise sound. Pennywise gets into this musically. It's not usually this level. It's more melodic, I would
yeah,
say, the singer of Pennywise. But I don't know. I got a bit of a vibe from that.
Okay, I have to add one more thing that I thought would. What maybe took it over the top for me was clearly they had this one line and they like they're trying desperately to build something around this one brilliant line,
uh-huh,
and that they're like, how can we break it up? And then they came up with the whoa, but it's just one note. That's what I was like, okay, that's great that they didn't try to do some melody, like a three note whoa melody.
Yeah,
it's just whoa and then it goes back to the thing. It made me laugh and appreciate it even more than.
Now you think in a live setting, or you know, right?
But, I've
this goes on longer.
Yeah, I would assume. Big crowd participation.
This is something where even if you've never heard of them, after the first time, you're like, okay, I know what to say the next time it comes up.
It's a perfect crowd participation thing for metal. Not sitting down and pretending to row a ship.
No.
You pump your fist.
This is better than that.
You pump your fist and say "fuck you" up every time they do that part. That's it.
Yeah, it's a call and response in a live setting that is easy. Mm-hmm. Anybody can do it. Anybody can learn it very quickly.
It's like a great finishing move in wrestling, Nick.
They know it's coming.
They know it's coming.
Everything is actually building toward this.
Yep. You could do it to anyone.
Now they might even do a false start every once in a while. Have someone kick out of the move like they like to do.
Yep.
Yeah, it's basically a less accessible version of Killing in the Name by Rage with the "fuck you, I won't do what you tell me."
Yeah. It is.
Like, there was a time when like that song was on every cover band's set list and in some music discussion boards I used to belong to, there's discussion of why is that song on everybody's list? Because it gives the crowd the opportunity to yell "fuck you, I won't do what you tell me" over and over again. That's the main reason.
Yeah.
So this is along those lines. Municipal Waste is going to fuck you up. I like that.
I think very few bands come up with a gem this good as far as interaction between themselves and an audience.
And something that's so simplistic, too.
That's the other thing, to boil it down to something that simple.
It's boiled down, for sure.
It couldn't be more simple.
There's no liquid left in the pot after they boiled this one down.
It's just one delightful nugget over and over.
He's right. I can't dispute it, to be honest with you. In terms of the absolute best, I don't know about that. But
sure, that's fair. But I'm not trying to backpedal, but I didn't mean, this musically takes you to a higher place because they're using these notes on top of these chords, and it's this level of talent.
No, but if you're speaking about boiling something down to its bare essence and expressing it in the most direct, impactful way, you might be right.
That's what I was going for. Well, so there you go. Yep.
I can't dispute that.
Mm-hmm. All right, and I like that it was a short one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing two episodes in a day. We got shit to do.
I don't think you knew how perfect it was to choose this, but...
Well, I kind of had a feeling, but it depended on what I got from the song generator. And there were... The first song I would have liked to do, but it wasn't the right mood. Second one... Band is dicey, but the song title had potential.
I feel like that one's got to come back. I don't know it either. But
They're not coming off the list, so we might get to them, the other one. And then the third one, I've only recently heard of the band. I'm just not interested. So that was definitely out. So it made sense. When you dropped that bomb earlier in the discussion group, I'm like, okay, this is my hopper song today. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, I guess I will vote first. We're already there. I'm giving it a Sweet Surrender, of course.
It's Sweet Surrender! Hell yes!
I don't know what I could say that I haven't said repeatedly, but it's when I came across this, it's the last song on the album. I listened to everything else first, and I liked the other stuff, but I was like, oh, okay, this is the thing that probably was the genesis for the whole band, in my opinion. That's the way it struck me. And I almost wish they figured out a way to put it in a better song, if that makes sense. Because that first half of the song was fine. But the second half, in the context of this band, would be iconic. The first half would be kind of forgettable.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So I wish they figured out a way to do that.
It's the reverse Full Metal Jacket sort of execution.
See, I disagree with that in principle about the movie, but that's a separate discussion. I say the second half is... Or is that what you were saying? You're saying that the second half is crap and the first half was good.
Yeah.
I'm saying the first half is great, and the second half is even greater when you dig into it. But that's a separate
discussion. Plus, I'm kind of playing off of something that you commonly hear people say about that film.
That they, like the first half.
They can't wrap their fucking minds around it, because that's when it becomes an actual Kubrick movie versus like your typical, you know, the boot camp stuff is easily digestible. The rest of it has got so much weird nuance to it that the common moron can't wrap their heads around it. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. That's when it becomes a Kubrick movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you either like it or you don't.
Yeah.
The first part is very easy to understand, and that whole setting and the whole dynamic of it is just spoon fed, and then it gets fucking weird and most people can't tolerate it. But that's a separate discussion that we're discussing now, but let's get off of that.
All right, who wants to vote next?
I'll vote. I'll give that a sweet surrender.
Wow.
Absolutely.
It's sweet surrender.
I think if you tack on the pound for pound descriptor before the rest of Andy's assessment of it, you'd be hard pressed to argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wasn't expecting it, because I knew nothing of Municipal Waste, but when I hear a name like that, I'm expecting songs about, you know, railing against pollution or war or all this high level, you know, things that are wrong with the world and blah blah blah. Instead we've got the you know Andrew WK kind of vibe in thrash metal music, and the cover art combined with the lyrics just reminded me of like keg parties at college and bands of college kids roaming around looking for some action, and then you descend on it, and there you go. And the whole Municipal Waste is gonna fuck you up, that kind of translates into my theory, or not theory, but my recollection of, like, you know, you're out looking for action and you happen upon a big party and somebody tries to keep you out, you suddenly launch into that attitude like, you know what, I'm going to fuck you up if you don't let me into this party.
Yeah.
Because you're already intoxicated and you're just not going to listen to that and be like, why are 200 people here but you're keeping my crew out? Fuck that. We're coming in. So it reminded me of that, and you know, I enjoyed that recollection.
It painted a picture in your head. It took it you did. Somewhere,
and it's that's how it was. I imagine it's probably the same way with college kids, but you know, it was just dorm or off campus. You're just going from party to party. Sometimes you hear about it and you know exactly where to go. Otherwise, you're just roaming around looking for some random shit to get into.
It's all on Nick.
I'm going to have to kick it.
Oh. Hell no! Trash ass.
That's what I was going to say, actually. I think it was like one of the guys in the band yelled that at me when I was driving by. So I can't give it.
Oh, okay, I'll give you the proper kick.
It's a humiliating kick in the crotch!
I mean, for what it is, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, I kind of... It is boiled down to like a simple sort of a motto... You know, a sort of a mantra, if you will, which I appreciate that. And the fact that it's boiled down so far, like we were talking about, it's not, I mean, it's not terribly clever, and I guess it's not supposed to be.
I almost think it is again, because it's not.
It's sort of like the Andrew WK thing where it's so meat-headed.
Yeah, that's the way I interpret it.
I get it.
I don't think the word clever entered their mindset at all in anything they've ever done.
Probably not, but yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I just couldn't give it a sweet surrender.
They're
sorry.
Named after the local cesspool, for Christ's sake.
Which is also makes sense. Kind of
perfect.
Yeah,
it's there's a concept. There's a clear concept. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are elements of it musically that I enjoy.
I thought the drum sounded good, actually. Yeah. That crisp snare drum. And it was, you know, they were, it was not a train wreck musically. They were locked in together.
It's a tight band.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, I agree with that based on what I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, I mean, it wasn't an overwhelming kick, but I couldn't give it the Sweet Surrender.
Understandable.
That's fair.
So you don't agree with Andy's outrageous statement from earlier in the chat?
No, I mean, the way he said it, no. After he explained it, sure, it's a contender for, you know, if you're going to have something that the whole crowd can identify with quickly immediately. And get into. Yeah,
in terms of doing what it set out to do, Andy's statement could be accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly the best chorus in the history of metal.
Now that that on its face is, in light of the song, is an absurd statement, of course. But
well, you have to lure people in with
after I come to expect that from Andy.
After it's explained, it makes sense.
I lured you in with the headline.
He did. I mean, I wouldn't have picked that otherwise.
Andy clickbaited us. That's
he put that statement out there, then he sent the video, and I'm like, I'm not listening to this. I'm going to keep this in the hopper today because I knew I had a choice.
That's funny.
And to see what comes out of the Bozo pewter, or the sports machine, whatever we're using these days. None of the three songs were going to hit the mark like this did, especially in the wake of the episode we recorded earlier. I loved that. That was a great episode. That was a great discussion. I was not going to want to take it into, pun intended, the toilet with something that I didn't think was going to spawn a good discussion. So here we are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
I'd be curious to see what people think about it, if this is their cup of tea.
I'm sure it's some, and others not, but, you know, it's part of the experience here, as you never know what you're going
to
get.
I'd also be interested for people to chime in on, like, their recollections of this as it pertains to being in a college town. Especially if you were somewhat recently in a college town, to sort of pass along whether this kind of vibe is still going on. But it's absolutely how every weekend was at college, just prowling around. If you weren't hosting the party, you were prowling around looking for where the party was going to be.
Was there
a... And when you turned 21, you spent a lot more time at bars. But up until then...
Yeah.
It's all keg parties, dorm or off campus.
Was there an unwritten rule that you're expected to host one semi-regularly? Or no.
You could just kind of... Either were of the makeup that you were going to host those kind of parties, or you didn't. You know, some people you knew they were never going to host that party, and that's fine. Probably didn't want to go to a party they were going to host anyway, but... We hosted our share at our house, that's for sure. And then we, you know, went seeking out other action when we weren't. But it is risky because, like you said, you have to have that attitude of, I'm going to accept all comers. Otherwise, you're definitely going to have a problem. Mm-hmm. And if you do, you could have a problem because you never know who's going to show up. You know, you can't watch your whole house the whole time. People, you know. Got ripped off, all the whole thing. But it's just, that's college mayhem for you in a non-commuter college vibe where people are living in the town, and that's how they roll.
Were there any college widows?
Meaning,
women who were older than college age who hung around.
Well, they were
preyed on. There were like the college men.
I don't know about all that, but they were like normal families living amongst rented houses of college animals, and I don't know how they stayed around.
Yeah, that would not be pleasant.
No, and they were invariably they were the ones who called the cops. You know. Party can only get so big and go on for so long before the cops have to intervene, but, you know.
Nick, you ever go to any college parties?
Yeah.
You guys are one, right?
I went to a couple.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of lame.
Yeah.
wasn't my scene.
I went to a toga party once.
Did you?
Yeah, at IU Bloomington.
I didn't know that.
I didn't wear a toga, but I went to one. I walked into one, like what Chris said.
What was the percentage of togas to non-togas?
I think there might have been two non-togas.
Really?
I don't know. It was like...
Sorry, it was very well...
Yeah, it was pretty toga. Maybe two is an exaggeration, but I would say like 90% togas.
Huh.
Yeah. Quite a few togas.
Yeah, and that's, of course, a byproduct of the movie that neither of you guys have seen, being Animal House. Yeah. I'm surprised that that was still a thing that long after that movie came out. Because when I went to college, we were, you know, 6-7 years removed from that movie, so it was fresh in everybody's mind. That was the thing. After Animal House came on, it was like a friend of mine hosted a toga party in high school, you know. Mm-hmm. The high school situation is whose parents are out of town this weekend. That's where we're going because we know that's where the party's going to be.
It's interesting.
I mean, that absolutely happened every weekend.
What's the purpose of the toga? Does that have to do with like the Greek whatever fraternity?
I think so.
Okay,
I think so.
I thought it was a WrestleMania 9 reference.
Well, that was a toga party, wasn't it?
Yeah,
they all wore togas.
Well, the thing about Animal House is it's set in the 50s, so that was going on for decades. But that was like it never really came into the public consciousness until that movie came out.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't really get it. I've seen that, you know, depiction from that movie of Belushi wearing a toga and all that stuff, but I never really understood why people are wearing togas.
Yeah, I've never heard of a reason for it.
I didn't know if it was supposed to be sort of like it's not quite a pool party where you're half nude, but it's like a partial removing of clothes.
I'm sure that's a big part of it.
And access to body parts is easier through toga than otherwise. That was kind of my guess as to what the reason was, but I don't know if that makes any sense.
It always kind of made me think of like the people wearing the lampshade at the party, kind of, you know, being a little bit like this guy's had too much.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And just, but it's like the whole party.
Oh, yeah.
They're wearing something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got that vibe of like...
Well, I'm sure everyone showed up drunk anyway kept drinking.
Yeah. There's a reckless sort of a vibe, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think the theory of having some connection to the Greek system is accurate. It could also be, you know, the whole Caligula thing, the fall of the Roman Empire, that it's like that extreme level of partying and depravity that could bring an entire country down, some sort of connection there, I don't know. But basically... after 1979, it was to be like Animal House.
Yeah,
start and stop there. But what it was like, what it was motivated by in the 50s, it was a weird fraternity thing.
It was like Caligula.
Was that under the Def Leppard stage?
Yeah, it was like Caligula.
Mothers and daughters performing sexual acts. Ross Halfen guy, that photographer, describing it.
Man, oh man. Whoever was writing or helping to write some of those lines for Behind the Music, give them a Pulitzer.
Yeah, those were great.
It was scripted?
There had to be some help.
Give it to me again and say this.
Yeah, play it up a little, you know. Yeah. Let's do that again.
Here's a list of things you can say if you want.
Yeah.
Mothers and daughters.
CC DeVille ignored the list of well-written suggestions.
Yeah. He's brought his own list.
Exactly.
List of garbage that he had in his pocket.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my god. It's the last Monday of May.
Did you anchor that one?
I did, didn't I? I think so. If I didn't, I'll do it again. If you disagree, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
It's the last Monday of May, so let's just get it out. It's a month. There's an awareness.
And is a somber holiday in keeping with the gravity and seriousness of what we're trying to raise awareness about. So, yep, let it go.
And that's when stroke was a stroke.
Somber.
And drooling was drooling. Motor skills meant everything.
I lost mine, and I was not improving. Collapsing, collapsing to the floor. Trembling hands were helping, baby. Outside my house, an ambulance. My farts were involuntary. Say yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not true.
Say yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, see, the languid delivery of that song is speaks to the seriousness of the subject matter. So what do you got for the last stroke avoidance tip of the month?
So you're going to have to try to your best to control diabetes. What more can I say?
What?
So how do you do that?
How do you do it? You check your blood sugar very regularly.
Well, how am I going to do that? Wait, equipment for this?
There are.
I don't have that.
There are equipments.
Okay.
You know what I'm getting from doing these prevention tips every week? It's staying on top of things within your lifestyle. Monitoring yourself, much like the we were talking about the rhythm method and things like that. Just keep an eye on things.
I guess so.
And see your doctor regularly. I mean, that's something that younger people don't typically do, but they should.
Ladies, I mean, keep track of your cycles.
Yeah. When do you have to start getting prostate exams? Sort of unrelated, but now that I'm 40, I need to look into it.
Well, I mean, they continue ratcheting down the age.
15 now. Recommended.
It'll end up that way by the time we're through on this planet. But
depending who your doctor is,
there's no downside to getting it checked as early as possible. I wouldn't think, but
was it 45? I don't even. Know.
I don't know. I always thought it was 50, but I think, like you said, it's being
every few years they ratchet it down.
Yeah.
So you go, and then your insurance company says, "Yeah, you were too young for that. We're not paying for it." So.
Well,
I'm going to do mine over a video call.
Say, well, I did mine myself, so take that, insurance.
Just got to get the lighting right on the video call.
Your ring light.
Andy heard if you did that, that's how you have a boy offspring.
Yeah, exactly.
Turns out that didn't work.
No, I tried it.
Found that out the hard way.
Didn't work. No, yeah. Eh, whatever. I got to start going to the doctor. Oh, these tips got me nervous. I never go.
Well, the good news is the Stroke Awareness Month is over, so get on with your lives. Just be aware of it.
Yeah.
Hopefully you've incorporated some good habits this month.
I don't know. I haven't.
That you haven't otherwise been practicing?
Yeah. Well, it's been educational, but it's time for another commercial break.
Yards of questions.
Motherfucker, I give them!
Swing away.
Yes, Chief.
How about that? Woo!
Everybody from the Yardo Questions intro is passing away. Then we have Tom Selleck still, thankfully.
We don't know, though. We recorded this episode a while back.
That's true.
Can happen in 10 or 12 days.
That's true.
Wow.
Let's hope not.
Rest in peace, Tom Selleck. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Yep. Oh! Another victim of the rhythm method, Tom Selleck.
Yes.
A victim of the rhythm method.
How he passed.
Misuse of the rhythm method.
Yep.
We'll get you.
That'll get you.
Rhythm, you know, stay tuned, everybody. June is, maybe July. We'll see. We might need time to prepare something. Might be rhythm method awareness month.
Appreciation month. Okay, this week's Yardo Questions comes to us from Aaron Green. What's up, Aaron?
All right.
Our buddy Aaron.
Is he listening right now?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't see him on here.
Couldn't make it today.
It's a hard day.
It's not tough.
Our usual schedule this week, so. He says, greetings, young gentlemen, and congrats on 500-plus episodes. Here's a triad of questions for your pondering. There's been a lot of discussion about rock history among you guys, specifically genres killing previous genres. What do you think was the final nail in the rock and roll coffin pertaining to the genre of rock itself, where bands with edge and swagger were no longer viable in any mainstream realm? So what was the final nail?
Well, I don't think that it's true that there was a final nail in the coffin of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and are we talking like 50s, 60s kind of rock? Or are we talking hair metal?
I think it means that there's nothing right now in rock and... There's no form of rock and roll that's mainstream right now with edge and swagger. That's the way I'm interpreting his question. And why?
I think it's, well, I guess in the mainstream, I guess that's kind of true.
You've got like your Imagine Dragons and stuff.
Which that definitely is not what he's talking about. Yeah.
But I think that might be why he's saying, you know, the with edge and swagger.
That's like, what I'm,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
They have neither.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, like, I guess early 70s you had... you had things going toward Yes, Genesis, Steely Dan kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that removed quite a bit of swagger, I would say.
Sure.
Or at least it opened the door to where you could go, where that's not really necessarily an element.
Yeah, but there was plenty of it still in the mainstream for a long time after.
But I think incorporating that, because I think a lot of, like, if you listen to, like, Imagine Dragons or, like, from, like, Muse or something like that, there are, like, proggy kinds of elements in there where it's not...
It's like a producer's band more than...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Where basically you might just be playing... You might as well just be playing all 12 notes at the same time in a long jam with the drummer hitting the crash the whole time, you know? Like, you might as well just be doing that in some of these cases. But, I don't know as far as what would be, like, a final nail. I think there were little nails leading up to it, and then what the final one is, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you could point to one final thing, but I think that, you know, I think it's legit that the grunge movement sort of pushed that out of the mainstream, because that's when rock sort of, instead of partying and, you know, cocksure swagger from people like we heard in the previous week's episode, from rock you expected, like, more introspective, heady topics in the lyrics and maybe some darker subject matter. And that's never really reversed course since then. If anything, it just got kind of like completely meat-headed with the post-grunge stuff, new metal and stuff that we have today, like your Five Finger Death Punches, which is terrible, and there's no swagger there. And you know, in terms of how I define the word. But I also think that the advent of rap and hip-hop, they basically commandeered all of that for themselves, or it was shifted to them.
Yeah.
And that's never reversed course either. So I think it's a combination of those two.
And I
somewhere
think
in the late 80s, early 90s, where you just, that type of thing ceased to be identified with rock, and it moved over to another genre.
And I would agree, and I would say that a lot of the swagger from rock is still there, but it's blended with country and rap now, and that's what the all the three syllable named huge country stars are doing.
Yeah.
The rock has been absorbed into country rap sort of rock.
Yeah, and the quote unquote new country, which isn't new anymore, it's 33 decades in. That's the arena rock of yesterday, is today's new country.
Yeah. Question 2. Past its death knell, is there a band or artist that had Rock's place in the history. Oh, I'm sorry. That had Rock's place in the history not come towering down, had the charisma, chutzpah, and supposed longevity to carry, or perhaps steal the Rock flag from Dave Grohl that never got its due.
I have to correct you, as I was corrected by a Jewish listener very early on in this show's run. I said chutzpah.
Yeah.
It's chutzpah.
I can't do that.
And I remember saying it.
Yeah.
And the next week I had to...
You had to correct yourself?
I had to be corrected, yes.
Well, I apologize.
That's just funny, though.
Oh, you didn't submit the question.
No, that's just...
But for my poor reading.
No, it's just funny because that jarred that memory loose from probably our first year of doing the show.
What was the first part of that question?
He said, past its death knell, is there a band or artist that had Rock's place in the industry not come towering down, had the charisma, chutzpah, and supposed longevity to carry or perhaps steal the Rock flag?
So just wrong time.
So wrong
right
time.
Right band, wrong time.
Yeah.
Basically.
So who had the it factor?
Or still has,
but it's just the wrong time, yes. But on that level, not just who's pretty good, is there anyone who.
I've got two potential.
But to get to the point where it's overtaking the Foo Fighters, that I don't know. But Chris has some.
I mean, again, this is under the assumption that the same preferences from the late 80s, very early 90s remained intact. So that's what I'm operating under. So from a pure, primal appeal, I would have to say Buck Cherry. I mean, they're swaggering front man. They got a lot of good stuff. Some of their material, though, the lyrics are just really bottom of the barrel. But in terms of like their approach to music and that rock and roll attitude and image and sound, I would definitely put them in there. And you also have to factor in the longevity. They've been around for 20 years now. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still at it, still doing good. Still, carving out a living, but in terms of like being on filling up Wembley Stadium, I think it could have been possible if it had the listening public's preferences not changed. And then the other one is Rival Sons. I mean, I don't see in the 70s or any other decade they would easily be the biggest band in the world based on the quality of their songwriting. And the fact that they have, in my opinion, far and away the best lead vocalist in the business right now.
Wow, okay.
So those were my two votes.
Nick?
Man. That is a good question. I think there are bands that had all the elements to be that sort of an artist, but weren't. And I think it's a lot of it has to do with what the climate was, what was selling, what the record labels wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there are some grunge bands that had that. Like, I would say Alice in Chains would. I mean, I know they're still carrying on, but I think if it hadn't been such like a grunge, self-destructive cliche, the way that all the songs were about this self-destruction, and then unfortunately the lead singer self-destructed.
Yeah.
I think though, but with the band that they had, if it were a different time, that I think they had the elements where they could have done something like that.
Okay.
I don't know what band to liken them to say Alice in Chains could have been a good whoever. But I think they had the elements where they, and let's face it, and the original incarnation, a lot of those bands that were huge, longevity was not what ended up happening.
Yeah.
No.
A revival of sorts years later, perhaps, but not longevity. That's maybe a weird answer, but I would say, I'd say Alice in Chains in a different sort of musical setting. And if it hadn't played out in real life with the addictions and the, sad demise and everything like that.
Okay. Question three. If Dave Grohl had never landed in Nirvana, who do you think the media would have propped up as the official ambassador of rock and roll, pandering to the common radio dial shifter while leaving the rest of us nauseated with overexposure? While you think of that, thanks ever so greatly for staying on the waves, helping me get through a rough time. The sweetest of surrenders to you. Thank you, Aaron, as always.
Thank you.
Hope that rough time is over with, but...
This is a very interesting question. I mean, it would have had to have been someone who went through a tragedy, sort of, because the whole Dave Grohl thing was there was this highly exploited media, you know, covered tragedy nonetheless, but the media coverage just was ridiculous, and he rose up from the ashes in a different role in the band, so that, I think, if not for that, but who else went through a sort of a, I'm trying to think of bands where they lost a member. I mean, I guess sort of like, I mean, you had Pearl Jam, who kind of, that's kind of their story.
How they started, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, also, you almost have to think like of a tragedy that didn't happen, but if it did, would have elevated somebody. And I don't know. I can't really, nobody's impugning Dave Grohl's ability as a musician, and nobody's denying that the guy does have some charisma, and you know, you don't get to be where he is without either of those two things. I just can't, like, if it had Cornell died earlier with the drummer of...
he's in every other band.
Yeah,
anyway.
but does he have the charisma to be like a front man and to be like the poster boy for rock and roll? I don't think so. I'm just trying to think of some other band member in general who would have that kind of charisma, and I can't think of any offhand. It's a good question.
That is a very good one. I mean,
Dave McCollin says Jack White.
What about him?
He would be the spokesperson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Interesting.
But that's late. That is like 10 years later.
Well, but yeah.
But still,
he did it. He did his thing the way he seemed to want to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely got pretty big. He's still pretty huge, highly regarded.
And he's a similar type guy where he's got his iron in several fires.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Like, he's single-handedly, that's a good one. He's kind of like a historian at this point as far as blues records go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Would he have been as huge? Maybe.
Yeah, with a void of nobody like Dave Grohl, he probably would have been, yeah. That's a good one. I think that's probably the answer. You think of, you couldn't really say Weiland just because the guy was just way too volatile. So, I don't know. I think Jack White's probably the right answer there. And think about that. He came on the scene like 25 years ago. It's been that long since somebody that formidable has come to the forefront. It's pathetic. That's a fucking quarter century.
Yeah.
No wonder rock is in the situation it's in. I mean, it's just not in the mainstream, again, as people said. It's still out there, and the bands that embody it are still out there, but they're not, you know, pop culture fixtures anymore.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, thank you, Aaron, for your Yordle questions. Did you give enough of an answer?
I think so. Okay.
I think you looked like you were going to jump back in with more.
Okay. I really can't think of anybody, because it would have to come down to someone being a known effective multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of the guys are, but who knows? Yeah. I guess it's interesting to think that there could be a drummer.
If only there... I mean, it's terrible to say, but only if they had some crazy circumstance happen.
Something unfortunately tragic had to happen in order for this result to take place, I think.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, Thank you for the Yardo questions, Aaron. And if you want to send a Yardo questions, send to potofthunder.com. Click that little widget to not one, not two, but three questions. We've got a fair amount, but I'm not necessarily going in order, just kind of picking around. So if you've sent one already, you could send more, but yours has not been discarded. So it's still in the pile. Don't worry. And we will be back next week with more Pot of Thunder.
I want to eat at Olive Garden and get the endless breadsticks. Wait a minute, what's that you say now? Never ending has ended. Can't you see I need more soup? Can't you see it's what I want? Can't you see I need more bread? Can't you see that I'm gonna torch this place? Burn this olive garden.